Boketov, good morning. Thank you, Josh, for your introduction. Good morning to everybody. It's great to see you again. It's good to be back. I've been around and about. I've been on 8-9 flights since I saw you last, and as is inevitable, come back a little bit sick with a sore throat and a cough, but that's just par for the course, I think, schlepping around in November. So you'll excuse me if I maybe talk a little bit more quietly than normal. But I'll try and keep everybody awake. That's at least the goal. So we have a special Chanukah Yom Iyun next week. So I didn't want to start a whole new series today, but we've got a topic which I think you'll really, really enjoy. Next week, please God, we'll be focused on Chanukah issues. There's a lot of speakers next week. We're all doing kind of half-hour slots, so you'll get a treat from lots of different people. I'd like to thank our sponsors, the Shirim, for the whole of 2025. Are sponsored Le'ilu Nishmois Brana Bas Brandit and Zelig Ben Kalman, and we really appreciate that sponsorship. It should be an Aliyah for their Neshamas. Now, what I want to do with you today, with your permission, is look at something I don't think we've ever really looked at in this forum before, which is I'd like to connect two important mitzvahs, one of them that we think about a lot, and one of them that I don't think we think about enough. One of them is Shabbos, and we haven't really spoken much, actually, over the years about the Hashkofa side of Shabbos, which I'd like to talk a little bit about today. And the other one is the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, which I think does not get talked about enough at all. The mitzvah to love God, and what that means in a very practical way. So I'd like to outline for you a dozen or so, maybe a little bit less, 10 very practical ways to focus on this critical, crucial, central mitzvah of Avas Hashem, and link them with Shabbos, and ways that we can actually do this on Shabbat. Many of these things we're already doing on Shabbat, but there may be ideas here. Shabbos comes around every week, Baruch Hashem, and it's the most important holiday in the Jewish calendar. So we're very lucky. You know, when you ask people, what's the most important day in the Jewish year? The answer is Shabbos. And we're just fortunate that it comes 52, 53 times over the course of the year. So let's start with the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, and start with the basics. We say every day, twice a day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which is a whole shir in and of itself. And then we say two psukim after that. V'ahavta is Hashem Elokecha. We have a mitzvah to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, just by in parentheses, it's not V'ahavta. A lot of people say V'ahavta. V'ahavta is past tense, and you loved. V'ahavta, if you look at the way the Ta'amim go, V'ahavta, you shall love et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshcha v'chol miyodecha. Now that's very strong language. There's no other mitzvah that it says v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshcha v'chol miyodecha, with all of our soul, with our hearts, with our minds, with our resources. And then it immediately moves on to the mitzvah of learning Torah. V'hayu advarim ha'eli asher anochi mitzavcha hayom al levavcha. And these words which I'm teaching you, which could be specific to the Shema, but it could be broader to the Torah, have to be on your minds, have to be with you every day. And we'll see the link between these important mitzvahs. But the mitzvah of Avat Hashem appears not just here. Here's the most perhaps famous reference, but it appears in many different connections, including and especially in connection with the mitzvah of Dveikus. Dveikut. What is Dveikut? Again, we've never really spoken about it in this forum. Looking at number two, we could bring many psukim on this. Li'ahava es Hashem Elokecha. You have a mitzvah, says the Torah, to love God. Lishmo bekolo, to listen to what he says. Uledav kabo, to stick to him, to cleave to him. Ki hu chayecha, because he is your whole life. Ve'arich yamecha, and the length of our days, this is what we should be dedicating our lives to, this idea of dvikut, of somehow clinging, cleaving. And there are many different ways to interpret that and understand that. Chassidut obviously focus a lot on developing some kind of God mindset. And by the way, people talk a lot about this. A lot of my students who are, let's say most people under 35, 40, are very fixated is a negative word, focused on having a relationship with God. I don't think anyone suggested to me when I was growing up that I should have a relationship with God. They told me I should learn Torah and do mitzvahs. Now that may be the same thing. But today people are very focused on this relationship idea. And I suspect that for many people, they just make something up in their mind that they think is God, and they have a relationship with that, which is really just a relationship with themselves, okay? Which actually probably suits most people because everyone's really obsessed with themselves. You know, they have kind of benches by the sea now which face away from the sea, face with their backs to the sea, so people can take selfies of themselves with the sea behind them. Nobody actually wants to look at the sea. They just want the sea as a backdrop to a picture of themselves. I actually sat on a plane from New York to Miami, and the lady sitting next to me spent the entire trip looking at pictures of herself on the phone. Hey, maybe she was a model. I don't know. I can't tell. I wouldn't like to comment. It didn't seem that way, but I don't know. But this idea of having some kind of sticking to or connecting with God, somehow we've got to work out what that means. What does it mean to have a relationship with and to somehow cling like glue to God? The Sefer HaChinuch brings this down in the mitzvah, in number 3, mitzvah ta'avat Hashem. Shenitzdaveinu le'alvis ha'makom. Baruch. We have a mitzvah to love Hashem. Shene'emar v'yahavta es Hashem elokecha. V'inyan ha'mitzvah. What does this mitzvah mean? Shenachshav. So the first thing he says, you've got to use your brain. There's no other part of your body that you can do this mitzvah with other than your brain. The truth is you can't do any mitzvah truly other than with your brain. But this is all in your mind. V'nitzvonen, we have to focus v'pikudav, pulotav, we'll come back to that, Hashem's actions, Hashem's involvement, his mitzvah in the world. Ad shenisigehu, until we somehow grasp God, kefi yecholteinu, as much as we can. V'nitaneg, and here's the key, we have to get some kind of excitement. Oneg,
joy.
We have to get a joy, v'hasagatoi, in what we grasp. B'tachlit ha'oneg, and it has to be the ultimate joy. If you were to describe, he says, what do you get the most joy from in life? The answer is going to be, should be, I just get the most joy from, you know, connecting to God. Being part of that relationship with God. It's interesting, I listened to a shiur last night by Rabbi Johnny Solomon. I don't know if you ever listened to Rabbi Johnny Solomon's shiurim. He's wonderful, Talmid Chochem, and a tzaddik of a person. And he gave a shiur, he was very close to Rabbi Sachs, and he gave a shiur on Rabbi Sachs's 50-yard side. About Rabbi Sachs, as someone who was an enthusiastic and energized and warm-filled Torah teacher who was in love with Hashem. And we don't often think of Rabbi Sachs like that. We think of Rabbi Sachs as the cerebral and as the intellect, as the Cambridge and Oxford man, etc. But actually, he asked on his kever for the only one thing to be inscribed on his kever, that he was thirsty, his soul was thirsty for God. Sama nafshi elokim elokeichaim. Okay, he needed that excitement and that thirst. And this is what this is describing, that above all, our joy in life should be this thirst for God. And he says, and in case you think this is only for great tzaddikim, it's not. This is for every Jew, every woman and man. Women, of course, are exactly the same mitzvah as men on this. As soon as you reach bar mitzvah, this is the mitzvah. In fact, there's the chasan sofa. Asked, what is the first mitzvah that a bar mitzvah boy does, or a bat mitzvah girl, when they reach the day of bar mitzvah? And the answer is this mitzvah, Ahavas Hashem. Not tefillin and shmar, but this mitzvah should be the first mitzvah. And then he says, shorish mitzvah zoyadua. We know the roots of this mitzvah. Shelo yivkai ma'adam mitzvah Hashem baruchu yafa. You don't do any other mitzvah properly, beautifully, nicely. Rak be'ahavas oto. Only if you love God in that mitzvah. Meaning he's saying this is not just an add-on. You can't just say, well, I do mitzvahs, but I'm a bit of a miserable person. You have to know I'm actually personally very challenged on this issue because I have 3 things working against me. Number one, I'm English, so we have no way to express our emotions in any kind of healthy way whatsoever. Number 2, I'm a Litvak, therefore smiling is not something that comes naturally. And number 3, I'm from Yorkshire in the north of England, which is completely renowned for miserable people, okay? No offense, no. You lived in Canada for so long, you lifted up from the warmth of Canada. The point is that there is a mitzvah to try and achieve this with every other mitzvah. You can't keep kosher or keep Shabbos or put up a mezuzah or wear shatnez or not wear shatnez properly, beautifully, unless you're doing it with Ahavas Hashem. And again, I think that sometimes we think, oh, well, that sounds very Hasidish. So we have to work this in. And again, we need to find out, there are many ways to do this, and I'm going to be very practical about them in a few minutes. And again, specifically connected with Shabbos. It's important to remember that this mitzvah, this ahava, this love, goes in the other direction. We often think about the mitzvah for us to love Hashem. How do we know that God loves us? And it's funny, I was just in Atlanta just now, and there were the road on which the shul, there are 3 or 4 shuls, all on the same road. Again, you really have to walk past the shul you don't go to and the other shul you don't go to before the shul you do go to. And there are, lahavdil, there are 4 or 5 churches. And there was a big sign outside one of the 2 churches which says, you are loved by God. And I think I've never seen a shul with a big poster outside saying, you are loved by God. And I wonder why that is. That's just not our messaging. And I'm not sure that that's entirely correct, because it says very clearly, number four, Ki me'avas Hashem etchem. God loves you. That's why he chose you. God loved your avot and imahot. V'ahavta u'berachacha. God is going, he loves you and he's going to bless you. And in fact, if you look in number five, you'll see the Shulchan Aruch says that if you're about to make hamotzi, and it says, im bin kom birkat hamotzi, if instead of making hamotzi, birech, you make the following bracha in Aramaic, and you say, you lift up your bread and you say, borech, rachmana, malka, married, the high pita, blessed is the rachmana. We'll see what that means in a minute. The king, the lord of this piece of bread, yatsa, then you did the bracha. You make your yotze the bracha. How can you be yotze? Where was there shame umalchus? There has to be shame umalchus. You have to say God's name in a bracha. It's not a bracha. You say God's name. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Kevan shiyesh shame umalchus. There is God's name and his kingship. Demilat rachmana kai bimkom Hashem. Because the word rachmana, the one who loves us, the loving one, is God's name. Shekein hayukorin otoba bava. Because that's what they called God in bava. Interesting. You know, we have this name, sort of God, which, by the way, also from people don't usually talk about God either. It's, but maybe it has too many Christian connotations. I remember there's a story. One of my, I've got a leak in my cup. Sorry about that. And one of my rebbeim many years ago in England, his son, his 5-6-year-old son, ran into him and said to him, "Daddy, Daddy, the Christians are putting leaflets through the door." So he read it, and tack, it was from a Christian group. So he said, how did you know it was from the Christians? He said, because he talks about God, and we don't talk about God. Thank you, Josh. You know, we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Ribbono Shel Olam, or the Eibishter. We kind of, but one thing we definitely never talk about is Rachmana. Can you imagine, this is the word that the Chazal, the rabbis in Babel, used every day of their lives for God. Rachmana, 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 the one who loves us, the one who loves us, the one who loves us. It's a very different kind of mindset, and I think we're really missing out a little bit on this. I heard Rabbi David Aaron say this a few years ago. I think it's a very important point, and it may be that we need to somehow, you know, reverse it. Oh, that's exactly what I need. Thank you, Mrs. Splash. Okay, there we are. You see? An engineer in our midst. Okay, Shkoyach. Thank you very much. So let's talk about the connection with Shabbos and how we can do this in a very practical way. So first of all, if you start focusing on the way we daven on Shabbos, we focus a lot on the idea of love. I brought you a couple of quotes from the Siddur, from the Tefillah. Number six, "V'hanchileinu Hashem Elokeinu." We daven that God should cause us to inherit "bi ahava uveratzon," with love and with willingness. Shabbos kodshecha v'yonuchu, and that we will rest. And then we have these three alternative phrases: ba, bo, and bam. Yisrael mekadesh shemecha. So why do we call Shabbos ba, and call Shabbos bo, and call Shabbos bam? Okay, because Shabbos is a word that can be masculine or feminine. Grammatically, there are a few words in Hebrew that can be masculine or feminine. Eish is one. Machana is another. There's a famous Rashi that brings down a whole bunch of words. Shabbos is another one. Shabbos can be masculine. Shabbos can be feminine. So on Friday night, we focus on the feminine aspects of Shabbos, Vayinuchu Va. On Shabbos morning, we focus on the masculine aspects of Shabbos, Vayinuchu Va. And on Shabbos afternoon, they come together to be actually a pair. And Alpi Kabbalah, and certainly Chassidus stresses this a lot, there's this idea of Shabbos as the love affair, as the connection of the masculine and the feminine, of the Shidduch. And by the way, that's what you're doing when you're singing Lechadodi. Lechadodi, you're making a Shidduch. You're bringing, it's a Hachnasat Kala. You're bringing in, really, the Chosin and the Kala are two aspects, two valences, if you like, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you want to look at the spheres where Malchut is a feminine energy, and Tiferet is a masculine energy, and you're making a Yichudim between the Zivugim, between the two. So this is really what's going on Shabbos. There's a lot of sense of connection between man and woman. This is one of the reasons why that's the mitzvah I brought you down in number seven, says the Gemara in Ksubas. Aina shel tamidi chachomim emas. What is the ideal way that a Talmid Chacham will have a marital relationship between he and his wife? Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel mi Erev Shabbos le Erev Shabbos. Every Shabbos night. Shabbos night is mitzvah night, as it were. Yehuda bray the Rebbe Chia, Chatne the Rebbe Yanai Hava, so Rebbe Yehuda, the son of Rebbe Chia, was the son-in-law of Yamanai. Azil v'yasid be'rav, and he went to Rav's yeshiva, v'kol be'y shamshi hava asil v'esa. But every Friday he would make sure to come home. He would always make sure to be there with his wife on Shabbos. By the way, it's very interesting. There is literature in the Second Temple, late Second Temple period, that suggests that that actually Shabbos is a day that you should not have connections between a man and wife. And the rabbinic take on this was very much to reject this as being sectarian, as being against Judaism, as being against Torah. It was very harif against this, which is why it stresses this idea of the feminine, the men, the masculine. And in fact, that's what we have on Friday night, Shabbos morning, and Shabbos afternoon. We even have, and I'm not getting it in too much detail, the minhagim of which challahs we use on Shabbos. Yeah? On Friday night, we have a minhag to use the lower challah, which has a female kind of valence. On Shabbos morning, we have a minhag to use the upper challah, which is male. And on Shabbos afternoon, they come back. They come together, v'yinu chuvam. So there is no male and female. They're both equal. We've reached, if you like, Mimos HaMashiach, and Ishatas HaVed Gaver, a woman and a man will be back on a completely equal footing, if they're not already, as it were. And you can ask your wife if you're on an equal footing with her, she'll tell you. Okay. But the point is that these minhagim reflect this idea of the yichud, of the connection of the love that goes on between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the Jewish people, and also to connect and unite all the spheres as well. We say in Musaf, number 8, Musaf Yom HaShabbos is there, Nasiv Anakriv Anecha B'Ahava. So if you've ever thought about this, we don't just daven that we're going to do the Korban Musaf one day. We daven that we'll be able to do the Korban Musaf B'Ahava, with love. Interestingly, when Shabbos falls on Yom Tov, there's an extra Ahava. I'm sure you've noticed this. If you look here in number 9, we say on Yom Tov, Atitin Lanu Hashem Lokeinu B'Ahava. We mention the Ahava on Yom Tov, etc. Shabbos l'minucha, moedim l'simcha, chagim l'zmanis ha'son, et yom ha'shabbat hazeh, et yom chag, this is Pesach ha'matzot hazeh, but izman cheruteinu, and then if it's Shabbos, we add another, bi'ahava. Why is there an extra bi'ahava when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos? So look at the Levush, beautiful Levush, number 10, commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, from the 16th century in Poland, 17th century. Obrim b'Shabbos bi'ahava, we say on Shabbos, bi'ahava, below Yontif, which we don't say on Yontif, this extra Ahava, the Shabbos b'mara nitztavu, because we got the mitzvah of Shabbos at Mara, at our stop in the desert before we got to Sinai. V'kibluha bi'ahava, and we took on mitzvahs there bi'ahava. Mara was a time of great love for Hashem, the sweetened waters, yeah, the waters that felt bitter became sweet. The Shar mitzvahs and the other mitzvahs shekiblu b'Sinai that they received at Sinai loy kibnu bi'ahava. Interesting, they didn't take them on with such ahava. Shehari loy kibnu hatorah b'Sinai ad shekafa aleim harka gigis, because there was a certain element of coercion that when we received the Torah at Har Sinai, it was almost like the idea of the mountain over our heads, that like, this is it, guys, you take it or you're all dead. The Yontif Bichlalam, and Yontif was included in that. So Yontif, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, we received at Sinai without this extra Ahava. But Shabbos we received before. Lekach, Ein Omrim B'Yontif B'Ahava. We don't stress on Yontif the nature of Ahava, but on Shabbos we do. Because Shabbos is our day of great expression of Ahava. That's how we receive the mitzvah, and that's how we express the mitzvah. So there are many aspects of this, and we'll bring out some of them over the next few minutes. So what is Ahavas Hashem? I brought you the Rambam here. Ahavas Hashem is the goal of the life lishma. Let's have a look at the Rambam here in Hilchos Tshuva. This is the climax of Hilchos Tshuva for the Rambam, the 10th parak. Says the Rambam, Al Yoma Adam, a person, again, Adam, not Ish, any man or woman, a person should never say, Harehu oise mitzvah zetari ve'oisik b'chochmasa kidei she'akabla kol abrochas ha'ksuvas boi. I want to study Torah and I want to do mitzvahs because God promised that I'll have a good life. Or that I want the world to come. And I want to avoid Averis, because I don't want all of the curses that it says in the Torah for those who don't keep mitzvahs. Or because I'm worried about my Olam Haba. No. That's not the way to connect, to be an Eved, to serve Hashem. Because someone who serves Hashem like this, who oved mi yira, they're serving from yira. There's a sense of fear and awe and distance. That einu malat hanaviim velo malat hachachamim. This is not the way that the prophets were. This is not the way the chachamim were. You're not an Eved Meira. I always think of, I don't know if you ever saw Downton Abbey. You were in, maybe it's like, I'm not recommending necessarily you watch the whole thing because it's like, there's a lot of, but you know, the butler, what was his name? Carson. Yeah. He's an Eved to the family, but he's in love with the family. It's like the family's success is his success. And everything he wants in his own life is for the, he's not part of the family. He's an Eved to the family. But the family, he's just in love with the success and the goals of the family. And says the Rambam, Ha'oved Mi'ahava, someone who loves Hashem, or serves Hashem, I should say, Mi'ahava, Osek Ba'Torah B'Mitzvahs V'Holech B'Nesivas HaChochma, they do Torah, Mitzvahs, learn Torah, Lo Mipnei Davar Ba'Olam, not because of anything in this world, Lo Mipnei Yirat Hara, because they're scared of bad things, Lo Kedei Lira Shatov, Toiva, not because they want good things, Ela Oseh Ha'emek, Mipnei Shehu Emek. It's true. This is the way to do it. This is the way to be. I do it because it's truth. It's emes. It's the way to live. And in the end, whatever good comes, I'm not worrying about Olam Haba, says this person. I do it because I'm in love with it. I'm excited by it. It's the way to live a life. And then he has his famous moshel, which is not his. It's Chazal and also in Shir HaShirim. The Ketzadu Ha'ava HaRu'uya. And what is the way to do this? And he uses all these adjectives. You have to love God with a love which is great, strong, exceeding love, and passionate love. And this is, he's translating into halacha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshcha, v'chol miyodecha. Achitei nafshok shur ba'avas Hashem, until your whole soul is like linked, is tied up with God. V'nimsa shoge batamid, and you're kind of a little bit obsessed, you're a bit of sort of high on this love of God. Ki'ilu cholichale ha'avah, as if you were lovesick. Says the Rambam, do you remember what it felt like to have a crush on someone as a teenager? And says the Rambam, in case you never had that experience, which is possible, he's going to tell you what it feels like to have that sense of obsession with somebody else. She'ein da'ato p'nuyu mi'avas osa isha. Because you can't get this woman out of your head. For who's shogeba, and you're mad about her. Tamid, constantly. Bein b'shivtoi, every time you sit, you go to sleep, you can't stop thinking about her. Bein b'kumoi, when you get up in the morning, you can't, the first thing you think of is her. Bein b'shashu oichel, you want to sit down and have dinner, it's just her in your mind. V'shoti, you want to have a drink, it's her. More than this, more than this should be the love of God in the hearts of those who love Him. Shugi batamid, you should be obsessive about Him. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech said when he wrote Shir HaShirim. I am love sick. This is us. This is the Jews. Love sick. Love sick people for God. Obsessed about God. Excited about God. But of course, in case you thought you're going to achieve this by hugging trees or taking, mood enhancers or anything like that, says the Rambam. But of course, Dava Yadua, it's absolutely clear. Uboro she'ein avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikshar b'libo shel Adam ad sheyishke batamid. You have to think. You have to think. You have to contemplate. Karoy v'yazov kol ma sheba'olam chutz mimenu. You have to leave other things behind. And he says, like, the more you think and the more you understand, the more you love. Your ahava is connected with your yidi'ah. Now again, the Rambam, and we'll see soon, all really the Meforshim, require us to be able to do this at the same time as being normal. Yeah, we have to do this while we're in the bank, and while we're doing our taxes, and while we're picking up the kids from school, and while we're eating dinner, and while we're, like, somehow this has to be worked in as a sort of attitude. Again, most people are not, don't just run around the streets with their arms in the air. You know, this image of this guy with his bodhidus in the forest with his arms in the air screaming tati, tati or something like that. Okay, that's beautiful. I'm not knocking that. But like, I don't know, that's not what I do. And that's not what probably most of you do. But we have to be able, even a yekka has to feel avas Hashem. Yeah? Half past three, every day. Okay? Maybe he feels Avas Hashem through stopping people saying the Yatzmach Prukunei Yikav Mishikai, or something like that. But everyone has to feel. Listen, the Rambam stresses the idea of Ta'anug, that it has to, just like the Chinuch brought from the Rambam, I brought in number 12, there has to be energy, excitement, joy. Go over to page 3. This is the Pasuk, of course, Hisanik El Hashem. We have to have joy in Hashem, V'yitzin Lecha Mishalos Lebecha. And then later, only after the joy, think about what the reward that comes. And I brought you here from Rav Kook, There's an experience that I think it was Rav Chalap happens. It's brought down in the biography of Rav Cook. He said one winter evening it was cold enough, number 15, to freeze the blood in one's veins. Everything was frozen. Ice formed on the window panes. Darkness prevailed and the clouds covered everything with an ashen grey. I went to see the Rav. His house was pitch dark. Everyone was asleep apart except for the Rav. He moved around his small room all in passion. For a while he did not take notice of me, but then he approached me and gave me his hand. It was completely frozen. Yet with a burning enthusiasm, with glowing eyes and a fiery countenance, he asked me, "Tell me, is it the same with you?" "What do you mean?" I asked. "I'm completely consumed with a burning love for Hashem. Do you feel the same way?"
Well, James was cold.
I think he had a fever. He had a fever of Hashem. Okay? And therefore, at the end of the day, we're going to have to work out how to actually do this. And I want to give you 10 practical takeaways, because it's all very nice giving a shiur about like loving God, but what does that mean in practice? And I don't know, for each person in this room, some of these may resonate more than others, and maybe there are more than 10. These are just 10 that I came up with that I think really work in this way. And I also want to link them to Shabbos, because again, Shabbos is a very practical way to do this. So the first one is developing simcha in mitzvahs. Number 16, Zehillim. If there is Hashem b'simcha, we have to sing, we have to have simcha. Our avdus, our the way we serve become avadim l'Hashem is v'simcha. And this is very hard. Rambam, number 17. At the end of all the halachas of the Yamin Urayim and Sukkos, he says, "Asimcha sheyismach adam be'asiyas ha-mitzvah u'ba'av asakel shetziva bahem." The simcha that we have to have when we do mitzvahs and we love God, avodah gedola hi. It's not a small thing. It's a really big thing. It's really tough. It's something we really need to think about. And anyone who prevents themselves from having this level of simcha, himself or herself deserves a punishment. And he brings a very, very striking pasuk. It says, where's that pasuk? In the Tochacha. You read the Tochacha in Dvarim, and it's relentless. It's just psukim after psukim of the most terrible, terrible things you could possibly imagine, which, you know, tragically have all happened in our history. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, what did we do to deserve this? And the only thing it says, it doesn't talk about Avodah Zorah or not, keeping other mitzvahs. The only thing it says is because you weren't happy enough. You did mitzvahs, but not besimcha. Yeah, because you didn't serve Hashem with simcha, that's why all these things are happening. That's very scary. Yes?
It's an avoda.
It's hard work. Yes? Like coming back to my moshe before, being the butler and doing a good job is a very hard job. It's a 24/7 job. And therefore, somehow or other, we need to think about how this is going to work. The Sefer Charedim in number 18 says, Ikas schara mitzvah la simcha. The main schar for any mitzvah, if we're thinking about reward, the schar is in the simcha. Ein ha-simcha prat nosaf b'mitzvah. The simcha is not an extra element of the mitzvah. Like, oh, I do this mitzvah, but I don't do it with such simcha. No, you didn't really do the mitzvah. If you want any kind of consequence, the term schar is consequence. You know, the idea that we go to Shamayim and then there's this like, you know, court judgment and we succeed and all the angels are there like clapping as we walk out of the courtroom. That's very childish. You know, the schar that we get is a consequence. You know, if you go to the gym on a regular basis, God doesn't reward you for the mitzvah of looking out after your body by giving you big muscles as a prize. You know, that's not what it is. The muscles are because of the workout. Yeah? Therefore, we get whatever is Olam Haba because of the workout in this world. And therefore, he's saying the workout is to be v'simcha. And then there'll be an element of schar, of everlasting connection to this mitzvah. Otherwise, it's just an action. It's not got any long-term consequences. Okay, so is Shabbos a day of simcha? Well, it's a day of oneg. But actually, Yerushalmi says it's also a day of simcha. Yerushalmi asked a very interesting question. Remember Purim Meshulash? When we have 3 days of Purim in Yerushalayim. Now, again, I feel I have to mention this every now and then because it's not happening again until like 20 to 45 or something like that. So we have to keep our minds on it. So the question Yerushalmi raises is, why don't we just have the Suda of Shabbos on Suda's Purim on Shabbos? Because, you know, we've got these three options, Friday, Shabbos, or Sunday. Shabbos is the day in Yerushalayim, or is the 15th of Adar. So we eat on Shabbos, have the Purim Suda on Shabbos. Why are we putting the Purim Suda off till Sunday? Just do it on Shabbos. Says number 19, Yerushalmi says, Sudas Rosh Chodesh for Sudas Purim, Ma'achri V'loi Magdimin. We put the Suda off. Interesting, Sudas Rosh Chodesh. People had special Suda for Rosh Chodesh. We put them off to Sunday. Reb Zeira Boy Kamid Abuah, V'yasas of a Shabbos. Why don't we do them on Shabbos? Amalei says, no. La'asot otam yimei mishtev asimcha. We have to, the Megillah says, we have to make a special Purim Simcha. Et yisamachtoi simchasoi talui bebeisdin. The Simcha of Purim is dependent on this mitzvah that the Beis Din brought in. Yatza, excluding Jesse Samachtoi Tluya B'Yidei Shamayim. When there's a Simcha that comes from God, from Shamayim, from the Torah, you can't mix a Torah Simcha with a Rabbinic Simcha. Purim is a Rabbinic Simcha. Shabbos is a Torah Simcha. Therefore, you can't, it's a little bit like V'Samachta B'Chagecha. You have a Simcha, you can't get married on Yontzif. Why can't you get married on Chol HaMoed? Because you have to have simcha in the chag, the samachta b'chagecha, the loy b'ishtecha, says the Gemara. You can't mix. So too on Shabbos, you can't mix the simcha of Purim with the simcha of Shabbos. So Shabbos is the day to really work on simcha in all of its different aspects. And as I say, the Yerushalmi stresses this idea of simcha as a mitzvah, not just on Yontif, but specifically a mitzvah on Shabbos. That's the first thing. So, working on our Simchas HaChaim, in whatever way we can, a Simcha in doing mitzvahs is essential for this purpose. Let me give you a second option. Number 20. Says the Rambam, and I mentioned this before, Ein Oyehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Badat Shideihu. We only love Hashem through thinking. Yeah? Meaning the Rambam is very emotional. Don't get the impression the Rambam is some kind of brain in a box, completely devoid of any kind of human emotions, just an intellectual rationalist. Lehefech, he just told you before, we just read that we have to have this excitement and energy and obsession with God, but it has to come through working it through in our minds. Think about it, everything is from our heads. You know, you watch a movie, you laugh, or you cry. Why are you crying? Oh, because somebody died. No, they didn't. They're actors. 5 minutes later, they just went, cut, everybody take a break, that was great. You know, like, why are you crying? The answer is because somebody's touching those buttons in your mind that makes you feel a certain... So it says the Rambam, okay, so do it through your Avodas Hashem. Touch those buttons in your mind through the thinking that you're doing in life. The Alpi Hadea Tia Ha'ava. The amount that you understand will be the amount that you love. Im Ma'at Ma'at Im Harbe Harbe. Those who love very little, understand very little, will love very little. And those who understand a lot will love a lot more. Lefikach. Therefore, he says, Tzarech Adam, every Jewish person, man and woman, must do the following. Everyone has to set aside time to work on Machshevet Yisrael, thinking about God. What is God? What does it mean that God is one? What does it mean that there's reward and punishment? What does it mean that there's an afterlife? There's a Mashiach? There's a resurrection? What the Rambam puts in his 13 Ikarim and other items as well. What is free will? A person has to spend time thinking about those. This is not just for intellectuals in an ivory tower and for deep thinkers in some kind of a yeshiva. This is for every Jew. According to what you can, lahavin ulahasig. You have to think, you have to grasp. As we explained in Hilchas Yisod HaTorah. And therefore, we have to set aside time to think about the big questions. These are not just for students in yeshiva or seminary. What is God? Who am I? What does it mean? What does existence mean? What is the next world? What is it not? There are many, many ideas that we need to think about. Shabbos is a great time to talk about these with our family, with our kids, with our grandchildren. Raise these questions. Says the Rambam, you need to set aside a little bit of time to actually to meditate on these ideas and to think about them and to get a clarity insofar as we can. Again, we're never going to have absolute answers. But we need to work through the problems and the questions, even if we leave some things as a question or issues like, I don't know, I don't know the answer to that. Nevertheless, we need to think it through. The thinking itself is the process of Avas Hashem. Thinking about God is loving God, says the Rambam. And therefore, that's the second way, if you like, after Simchas HaChaim, a second way that we can do that. And again, Shabbos might be a time when we've got a little bit of spare time, of extra time, of free time to actually do that. Three. learning Torah. I was asked to speak in a Beis Yaakov in America. It wasn't really on my core sort of mission because I run a seminary for women in their 20s. So I'm really going to college students and young professionals and talking to them about opportunities to come and learn in Israel, my seminary, Midrash Rachel V'Chaya. But I have a friend who's the principal of a school, the Beis Yaakov school in Atlanta, and he said, do me a favor, if you're coming to Atlanta already, which I went to Emory and I went to see the young professionals, come and speak at the school. So the school told me I have 15 minutes on Friday morning to give over a message to the girls. So what do I tell the girls? So, okay, you can get a lot over in 15 minutes. So the main focus of the message I gave them was, don't let anybody tell you that learning Torah is a men's mitzvah. Okay? It's a man's mitzvah. Which is constantly they're being told. Men have to learn Torah and women have to keep sneers. Okay? Well, both of those statements are true, but women also have to learn Torah and men also have to keep bitzanua. Okay? And we'll, you know, not talk about sneers now. I can recommend a book on it if you're interested. But the issue of learning Torah is very key. Number 21 says the Rambam, the Loshan HaSifri. The Sifri says as follows. Sifrei son. He says you have to love God. How do I love God? What do I really do to love God? God is so ephemeral, distant, transcendent. Talmud Lama, the Torah says, learn Torah. Through learning Torah, that's how you come to recognize God. People want a relationship with God. Okay, relationship requires a dialogue. In davening, you speak to God. In learning, God speaks back. If you're hearing voices of God speaking back to you in the middle of davening, you need to see someone about that. Okay? That's not how God's meant to speak to us. We're not Nevi'im. And even Nevi'im, I'm not sure they heard voices. We are meant to hear God's voice through learning Torah. That's why we do it. And that mitzvah is on men and women. That is the primary way that an educated person is able to involve themselves in the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Just diving into the text, learning, getting excitement from it. Now, for most of history, women were unable to do Avas Hashem through this method. They were able to do it in other ways, all the ways we're going to see in this shir. But now women are highly, highly educated. I told these girls, you are educated to the same level of sophistication as the men your age. And they are. And you'll go on to do college degrees and postgraduate degrees. So your Torah learning has to be somewhere on the same level as your secular learning. You have a frum person who's got a postgraduate degree, but in terms of their Limud Kodesh, is on the third grader. How do you do that? And think about this. You know, people. How many were people from with 12 years of school education plus kindergarten, many of them, each year cost their parents $35,000-$40,000 a year per kid. Yeah? And you sit down with a kid and they say, can you read Chumash? And they say, I can read, but I don't understand what it says. You can read, but you don't understand what it says, and you've been in school for 12 years? Like, what's going on there? That's crazy. Can you imagine if you had an English exam and they gave you a piece of English to read and they said, can you read this? At 17, yeah, I can read it, but I don't know what it means. Like, we're going to fire all the teachers. Now, again, it's not the teachers' fault. The teachers have issues, and I'm not going to, you know, be hard on the teachers. But somehow or other, we have to get through to the students that they have a mitzvah they need to understand. Otherwise, they're functionally illiterate. And Shabbos was a time that's set aside for learning Torah. Look at number 22. Rabbi Barachia, Meshem Rabbi Chia Barba. Lo nitnu Shabbosis v'yamim tonim, ela la'asuk behem b'divrei Torah. Shabbos is given to us as a time to learn Torah. Kos of Echad Omer. Shabbos hi l'Hashem. Again, it's stressing that Shabbos is a way to connect with God. That is not the mitzvah of Torah specifically of learning Gemara in depth. You can learn Gemara in depth. That's the man's obligation of learning Torah. But all the other mitzvahs of learning Torah, specifically to connect to God, Avas Hashem, women and men. And therefore, Shabbos is a time that people should set aside time to learn Torah. Looking at Shulchan Aruch number 23. Achasuda Shachris. After you have lunch, he says, Kovim Medrash. You should set aside some time to learn. Likros B'Nevi'im. Maybe learn Nevi'im. Lidrosh B'Divrei Agada. Maybe learn some of the Agadatas. And I brought you the Shari Tshuva here, which is very interesting. Look at this Shari Tshuva. Chayiv Adam. A person is required. L'chadesh Chidushei Torah. They're required to come up with something new. We don't want to hear the same old Divrei Torah at the Shabbos table that we always had. Come up with a new idea. Get yourself a book of questions on Shabbos, and like, you know, so you'll have a book of questions to ask. Okay? And come up with some new ideas. Kamasha Kasa Bazaar, like it says in the Zohar. Why? Because on Motzei Shabbos, The Chazaras Neshama Yisera Lemakoma, when your Neshama Yisera, when your extra Neshama goes back to wherever it comes from after Shabbos, Shoel Ota. They're going to ask your Neshama Yisera. Shoel Ota HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma Chiddush Amarta B'Torah? What Chiddush did you say today? You don't want to look like a fool, you know, you stand there and say, I don't know, my Chiddush was, Avram was a great person. You know, they want something new. And then he says, the Shari Tshuva, Umisha Einu Bar Hachi, and if you're not so, you know, learned, L'chadesh, to make Chiddushim, not everybody can do this. Not everybody has the education to do this. Yilmud Dvarim Shaloi Lamad Adhena. Then at least learn something new, different. Pick a book you never picked up before, an idea, a Torah. You know, whatever it is that, look, I never learned anything, I'm going to learn that. Do something new on Shabbos. At least the chiddush of doing and learning something new is part of this mitzvah of Avas Hashem through learning Torah. And therefore, I think that Shabbos is a great opportunity to expand the areas of Torah that we're connected with and to pick up news for him, whatever time we have. Nowadays, Friday night's perfect. I mean, Friday night, you know, by the 7 o'clock, you're already done with dinner, no? What's to do after that? It's like COVID or whatever, you know, go to bed at 7 o'clock and you know, whatever. But no, yeah, stay up, do some learning, learn something new, etc. Next, number 24. The fourth way I'd like to suggest that we do Avas Hashem is also in the Rambam. Quite Rambam heavy today. What is the way to develop love and also awe of God? Go outside and look at the universe. Look at nature. Think about nature. You see the wonders of nature? It's just infinite, almost. The universe is just mind-bogglingly large. The number of galaxies, forget about stars, billions upon billions, trillions and trillions and trillions. If you realize that, this will give you a taiva gadoila. These are strong words. Taiva will give you an insatiable appetite. Leida Hashem HaGadol. I just got to know how all this came. I've got to know the being that created a universe where which is so vast. Like David said, Sama nafshi elokim lekel chai. I said that Rabbi Sachs has on his kever. That I just can't understand how a leaf works. It's just unbelievable. You could do 5 PhD doctorates on a leaf. We take it for granted. Our leaves, leaves. Nothing is for granted. You know, look at this Stende. It looks very straightforward. You put it under an electron microscope, and it's like a whole world, you know, on the Stende. You don't want to see a lot of the creepy crawlies wandering around. But like the point is that it's unbelievable. It's actually, beyond comprehension. And therefore, Shabbos is a time to do that too. Well, how often do we get the time during the week to actually go for a walk and look at nature and think about the universe and look at the stars, if you can see any stars anymore, okay? The Shabbos is an ideal time to do that. And to do that, L'shem Avas Hashem. L'shem Avas Hashem. That's what the Rambam's saying. The way we develop Avas Hashem is through just studying nature, studying the universe, and that's why he says you need to set aside time for that. Next, number 25. Learning Jewish history. The Inyan HaMitzvah SheNachshav VeNitbonei BeKudah VePu'latav says the Chinuch, we have to think about God's actions in the world, actually Sigei Kufi Yecholteinu, until we understand him to the best of our ability. VeNitaneg, and what should we get excited and feel joy from? Hashkachato hamuyuchedet, his hashkacha, the way God runs history. And this especially, I think, is important for young people as well, feeling part of Klal Yisrael, feeling an excitement. This, I think this is, in many ways, the ahava that we're feeling in Israel with the younger generation. They feel part of a cloud, they feel part of a mission, they feel part of a people. And that is exciting them to want to do more and to learn more. I don't know if you read there was an article recently about how people's level of religious excitement and commitment has gone up about 30-40% since the beginning of the war that we just had. That's not just down to the fact that people were davening because there were missiles falling. I think it's because there's a sense of klal, there's a sense of being part of history, there's a sense of seeing God's hand in human history. You have to be almost living under a rock, or burying your head in the sand, not to see that there's something strange going on. It's interesting, if you'd have asked Jews 600-700 years ago, do you see God in nature? They would have said, oh yeah, I mean, look at everything around us. How else could any of this come to be? You ask a Jew today, Do you see God in nature? So some of them will say yes, but lots of them say, well, I don't know. You know, evolution and Darwin, and it could have all happened like this, and it could have all come from the Big Bang. There's a lot of things cooling down, if you like, that excitement in seeing God in nature. Although I don't think these things are contradictory if you look at them in more depth. If you'd have asked a Jew 600 years ago, do you see God's hand in history? I don't know, only in the sense he just gets like, you know, more and more oppressive and exiles and pogroms. Like, where do we see God's hand in history? Today, for the last 150 years, how can a Jew not see God's hand in history? It's like imprinted on every page of the Jerusalem Post or whatever news you read. It's there. It's right there. We're living right through this amazing time of revelation. Rabbi Mon talks about this a lot. Rabbi Mon says that the Nissim that we've had over the last 2, 3, 4 years, maybe the last 100 years, are way greater than anything we experienced in the time of the Tanakh. Way greater. We're just a little bit blasé about them. Maybe we're not, but we get used to them. I tell my students sometimes, if you say to your great-grandparents, you know what I do? I get on a metal tube and I fly 38,000 feet in the air at 700 miles an hour across the other side of the world. And 7 or 8 hours later, I get off that metal tube and I'm in the land of Israel with a Jewish army and a Jewish police force and markets with fruit and food and growth and exports and high tech. Your great-grandparents would say, okay, that's what we've been davening for all of these generations. That's the Gula. Okay? And again, I'm not making a statement about whether we're in the Gula, Gula Shlema, you know, this, Hatchalta the Gula. But the point is that people take this for granted, but this is the God's imprint, the hand of God on history, and therefore that's part of the Avas Hashem that has to generate a sense of excitement. Okay, so we've had lots of good examples. What have we had so far? Simcha in life, which we can enhance on Shabbos, learning Torah, we've had learning Jewish philosophy and ideas, we've had learning about nature and appreciating nature. We've had learning God's hand in history and seeing that sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the world. Now, number 6. This is not so popular. Number 26. What is the opposite of Avas Hashem? What is the breach? What is the breaking of that mitzvah? It's not loving God or, God forbid, rejecting God. It's loving money. It's loving money. Look at what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Number 26. Ba'oiv al-zeh, someone who breaks this mitzvah. The kodeya machshav tav, and they focus their mind instead of on God and on connecting with God, be inyanim hagashmiim, on material things, behevle haolam, and all the nonsense in the world. Shelo l'shem shamayim, not l'shem shamayim. Meaning, he recognizes, of course, you can have a nice house and a nice car and a good job, and you can do all of that l'shem shamayim, so that you'll have the resources to live a life connected to Hashem, raising a family, building the world, etc. But raklehit anik bahem levad. I just do this because I love money. I want to have money because I like playing with the toys. Ola hasik kovet haolam, or I want people to respect me. Olam azem. Hagay lahagdil shmo. Okay, who wants somebody wants to raise his name to be famous, etc., etc. The la lekavana lahatif atoyvim ola chazik yidei shamayim. And not to improve the world, or to be l'shem shamayim, or yidei yisharim, excuse me. Still a little bit jet-lagged. Bitel aseh zeh v'onsho gadol. This is a very major breach of Avas Hashem, and their punishment is great. And by the way, the Mishnah Berurah brings this down on the first page of Shulchan Aruch. He goes through, on the very beginning, in the Bir Halacha, he says, before you learn any Halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, here are the 6 constant mitzvahs, he brings them down from the Chinuch, and Avat Hashem, I think, is number 2, and he says the breach of Avat Hashem is materialism. People who are ultimately focused on money. And this is a big challenge all the time. Even on Shabbos, where they say, you know something, whatever you spend on Shabbos, you get the money back. Yeah, that is an idea. But there must be a limit. You know, sometimes you know, Shabbos just becomes ridiculous. It's like 8 different kinds of meat and 8 different kinds of this and 8 different. There has to be a point at which we actually become focused on the materialism and realize and recognize that's the case. And, you know, I go a lot to America, and England's the same, honestly. You know, why do people have to do well at high school? Why do you have to do well? There's such focus on, you know, you have to do well, you have to get good grades, you've got to work hard. And if you just trace it through, it's very straightforward. You need to do well in high school so you'll get a good place in college, and you need to get a good college degree so you'll get a good job, and you need to get a good job so you'll earn money. Now, I understand if you live in Teaneck or the Five Towns, you need to earn $200,000-$300,000 a year just to survive, to get your kids into school. One of my friends said he has like 5 kids in a Jewish day school. He said it's like buying a new Lamborghini every September and driving it off a cliff.
Yeah. Which says a lot about the cost of the school and also what how effective he feels that the schooling is. But the point is that that is the whole nature. Everybody is ultimately just focused on money. And it's the same across different societies. Yes.
We just had a shayor by Rav Adler.
Okay.
He did Amartir ben Kodesh Vachol.
Okay.
And what's the second line of Amartir ben Kodesh Vachol? Zareinu v'chaspeinu v'kachol.
Okay, good. But that's l'shem shamayim. You know, we want more money so that we want to have an easy parnassa so we can spend the time doing what we really want to do, which is focusing on mitzvahs, building society, raising a family, etc. This is a problem. Yes.
But I have to say the original Musar didn't have chaspeinu.
Oh, really? That's so interesting. Somebody put in... Okay, again, there's nothing wrong with money. We're not meant to be living in a monastery or a nunnery, rejecting all material wealth. But nevertheless, this is a real challenge. And this is the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Okay, let's look at the last four as takeaways. Being a Kiddush Hashem. Look at the Gemara in the 27. Yeah, Avtai Hashem Elokecha. How do you do Avas Hashem? You make God's name loved through your actions. If somebody knows how to learn Chumash, knows how to learn Mishnah, and they went to Yeshiva, they know Gemara. And they do business so beautifully and nicely, with a friendly way with people. What do other people in the world say about that Torah Jew? Ashrei Avi Shalamda Torah, Shalimda Torah. Ah, happy is his father that taught him Torah. Ashrei Rabbi Shalimda Torah. Happy is his rabbi who learned taught him Torah. Oylahem Nebriya Shaloi Lamdu Torah. What a tragedy for people who didn't learn Torah. Pliny, this person, this man or woman, Shalamda Shalimda Torah. They taught him Torah. Ra'u Kama Naim Drachav. Look how beautiful he acts in the world. Kama Metukani Masav. How refined is his life. But someone who goes to yeshiva, they learn chumash, v'shodei mishnah, u'mashamish tam nechachomim, and they've been through the system. They know all of the Torah. V'ein maso matna be'emunah, but they're not honest in business. They don't act honestly, they cheat. V'ein dibura b'nachasim abriyas, and they don't talk nicely with other people. Ma'abriyas omer salav, what are people going to say about them? Oylai l'plani shalama Torah. What a chaval for these people, sit and learn Torah. Just learn all day, and look what they are. Oiloi la avish shalam shelimdo Torah. What a waste of time that his father taught in Torah. Oiloi la rabba shelimdo Torah. Pliny shalam a Torah. Ru kama maku kalim masav. Bekama maku arim drachav. Look how disgraceful this person's life is, even though they claim to be a Torah Jew. The Gemara knew all the time. There are people who are Kiddush Hashem, and there are people who are Chilal Hashem. And, you know, you can interpret that however you want to interpret it. But this mitzvah is the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. If you cause the world to fall in love with Torah and with God through your actions, there's no greater Avas Hashem than that. And therefore, that's another way in which we can think how to be a role model, how to be a model to our family, to our friends, to other people. Okay, well, nobody's perfect. Everybody has faults, but that's part of their role modeling as well. Linked to that is the mitzvah of outreach. People say, well, what's the mitzvah of Kirov Rechaikim, Kirov Kroivim? So look at number 28. Says the Rambam, Ukva Amru, the rabbis have explained, Shemitzvah zot koleret gam kein shenidrash v'nikra anashim kulam la'avodata, that we call other people to serve or to connect with Hashem Yitzaleh, la'amin bo, to believe in Hashem. V'zeki kshiyatav ha'adam, when a person loves something, tasim libcha alav, they think about it, v'tishabcheyu, and they praise it, u'tavakesh anashim la'avodata, and they want other people to praise it. And he goes through and says, this is Avas Hashem. You get other people excited about Torah. If you really love it, and you show you love it, then other people will come to love it too. There's a line in Wordsworth that says something like that, which I don't remember exactly now. But that's the point. You know, there are many mitzvahs of Kirov. But one of the main mitzvahs here is the idea of Avas Hashem, that we're not trying to judge other people or tell them that they're, you know, not acting the way that we think they should act. We're trying to get them excited about this idea of Shabbos. And Shabbos is probably the most powerful Jewish outreach opportunity that there is. One of the things I did just now in America is I did a Shabbos with the community in Atlanta, and I also did a Shabbos in Long Island with Olami. Olami are an outreach organization on many campuses now who are working with young professionals. They're working with the students on campus, and they had a whole, you know, Shabbaton in Long Island in Woodmere. And it was amazing. Baruch Hashem, it's incredible. And again, Shabbos is an opportunity to show people the kind of jewel that we have as Jews and the kind of opportunities that we have. This is an amazing, amazing thing. Okay, so that's the eighth idea. The ninth idea is Mesilas Nefesh. If you really love something, you'll give up for it. That's how marriage works. Okay, that's how life works. That's how children work. Your Mesilas Nefesh, people don't always do everything they want to do. Number 29, Gemara in Brachos. V'ahavta'ez Hashem Elokecha. Tanya, Rabbi Eleza Omer, Im ne'emar b'chol nafshecha, lama ne'emar b'chol ma'odecha? If it says with all of your life, why does it say with all of your money? V'im ne'emar b'chol ma'odecha, and if it says with all of your money, lama ne'emar, why does it say b'chol nafshecha, with all of your life? Ela im yesh lecha adam, because it says in the Gemara, you have some people, shegufo chaviv alav mimamonu, that their body is more precious, the health is more precious to them than their money. That's why it says b'chol nafshecha. So you have to serve Hashem with all of your life, with all of your health. And if you have other people, that their money is more precious to them than their life, that's why it says with all your money. I mean, you have all sorts of people in this world. Some people, their health is more important than their money. Some people, their money is more important than their health. And you think to yourself, like, is there anyone really whose money is more important than their health? Yeah, I think that's actually a lot of people. You know, I speak for myself when I say, if you tell me, you know, go to the gym so that you'll get healthy and you'll, you know, hopefully live longer, etc., etc. You know, well, whatever people eat, show me Pesai Hashem, and like, God decides who lives and dies, you know. But like, I went to a personal trainer a couple of years ago and I paid him like 8,000-9,000 shekels to actually, you know, lose a bit of weight and get myself into shape. So what motivates me now? I spend all that money. Like, I'm a friar. I'm going to spend 9,000 shekels to put all that weight back on again. Like, what do you think I am? I'm not stupid. So it's funny, like, you mean your health doesn't motivate you, but your money does? Yeah, kind of. It's like, you know, that's the way people are motivated in life.
It's a Rambam, though.
What do you mean?
To keep your body.
Yeah. I shouldn't need motivating. It's a mitzvah. You know, there's a Gemara. One of the Amoraim was a young man says to his father, "I'm not going to that shir anymore." All the rabbi does is talk about health tips, and he says, "No, that's the most important thing. That's the mitzvah. Nishmatim an lo shesechem oid ma'oid. You have to look after your health. So why do I need motivating like that?" People need motivating. So the point is that giving up whatever is precious to you in some way is part of your avodas Hashem and part of your avas Hashem, part of our avas Hashem. I brought you a very interesting Rambam that said this is especially true in Eretz Yisrael. Look in this Ramban very quickly in Eretz Yisrael, number 30. Lo'ayvei v'shomi mitzvotai, u'metzati b'mechilti. He quotes a mechilti here. Rabbi Nasan Omer, lo'ayvei v'shomi mitzvotai. What are those people who love God and keep his mitzvahs? Elu shehem yoshvim be'eretz Yisrael. These are the people who live in Eretz Yisrael. V'noisnim nafsham ala mitzvahs. And they're moise nefesh for mitzvahs. Malacha yotzi leharek. And he brings the mechilta here. Why are they taking you out to die? Al shemalti et bani. Because I did bris mila. Malacha yotzi leisarif. Why are they taking this person out to be burned? Al shekarati b'torah. Because I wanted to learn Torah. Malacha yotzi leitalei. Why are they crucifying this person? Asher achalti es matzah, because I ate matzah. Malacha loikeh be'afargel, why are they giving this person lashes? Asher etati et lulav, because I kept the mitzvah of lulav. Eretz Yisrael is a place of mesiras nefesh. Now, Baruch Hashem, nobody is taking us out in Eretz Yisrael and punishing us for keeping mitzvahs, which is an amazing thing, because that wasn't the case for a lot of history, and you know, the Hanukkah story is very much part of that coming up. But Israel is a place of mesiras nefesh. You don't need me to tell you that. People live here with the different kinds of mesiras nefesh, and we often don't think of this mesiras nefesh as the mitzvah of avas Hashem. You know, those people who have given up so much in all sorts of different ways over the last 100 years to make the yishuv of this country possible. This is the mitzvah of doing it for love of God. We're doing it because we're not doing it because we've got nothing else to do. We're doing it because we deeply, deeply believe in it. And says the Ramban, Avas Hashem is imprinted on all of that Mesiras Nefesh. That, I think, is the ninth reason. The tenth reason, the last reason, I brought in 31, the Ramchal, brings down that one of the ways that you express Avas Hashem is by being zealous, by having a sense of personal investment, that I get upset when this is not being done right. Now again, we have to understand that the tochacha has to be done in a way which is intelligent. You can't just run into the street and scream Shabbos, Shabbos, and throw rocks at people. That won't get anybody to keep Shabbos. You have to do it in a way where people feel... But we shouldn't be blasé about it. We shouldn't say, oh, you know, whatever, people don't keep this, they don't keep that, it's none of my business. We should feel outraged on a certain level that people don't keep Shabbos, but work out a way to work on that in a way that actually is effective and helpful and not judgmental and not demeaning and condescending, okay? But we should be outraged. We should be upset by it. And then just to let it go and say, you know something, everyone does their thing. Okay, maybe we've lost a little bit of that sensitivity about how precious Torah is and how important it is that we try and ensure that it's kept. So here we are. You can take from any of those 10. To do the mitzvah of Aser Hashem. Or you can think of others and you can write me, you know, an email and give me other ideas. But those 10 are something to be going on with. I think that Shabbos is a great opportunity to do that. So we're going to end there. Next week, as I say, we're having a special... I think Rabbi Shor is about to talk about it. And we'll see you then for a quick Chanukah.